dentist, and this alarm will go off if he cries. So that's our protection, we're hoping. Half of you were here for the first service, so it makes me a little stressed here that I can improve on my stories. But one of the things that I intended to accomplish today was to clarify. People are unfairly accuse me of using a public forum like this to talk about Fords. And we know that's not, well, I know it's not the case. And every time I do that, it's always with education in mind, to clarify something for you. And, for instance, I'm sure you have all seen American Automobile, American Automobile Association commercials on television. You watch them, right, Greg? Yeah. And in there, they will show, you know, someone breaks down beside the road, and they call AAA, and they come screaming up, and but they will always have the rescue vehicle. It looks familiar, but it's not quite. And it's always got some kind of thing covering it. You know, they don't want to promote a brand or something. So there's this rescue vehicle pulling up, and guess what's behind it? I investigated it for your benefit. So this morning, for the first time, right here, we are going to reveal, if we can get the tape off. This is AAA tape jumping its hair on the book. It stuck too good. We probably won't be able to see what's behind it with that going on. It's not good, folks, but you'll get the idea. It's awful. Lord, look, I destroyed it. Oh,
we're still not sure.
I feel pretty confident, Rob, that we've got it taken care of. Have to also mention that the hymn we sang here and the two hymns we sang in the first service are from my intended funeral service that I have prepared. And I just got a little support on this because Debbie Locke came in and said, that's one of the hymns that's going to be at my memorial. And so we're in good ground. In fact, Higher Ground was her favorite too. And the third one that we never sang anywhere is Burdens Are Lifted at Calvary. So you can practice on those and kind of get ready when the time comes. Greg had asked me a few times about speaking, and he does it in a way that's not pushy or offensive, but inviting. You know, would you like to? Or, you know, we'd love to have you or something. And each time I would think, oh, Lord, I don't want to do that. And I'd say, well, let me think about it. And that's a polite way, a polite no, you know, to say, let me think about it. And, of course, in the meantime, I'm feeling somewhat guilty. And so then I said to Greg one day, well, if someone is sick Sunday morning or something happens, you know, last minute, I'll fill in. And so that's what I'm doing. I'm filling in. No one's out, but I'm filling in. So you don't expect too much, in other words. It's sudden. It's surprising. And I suggested to him that my essence of what I would do was just share some stories about my life. And that's what I hope will maybe benefit one of you. Something that I have already experienced or done or whatever, might you say, wow, that's pretty good, Frank. You say it anyhow, whether it was or not, right? Okay. So, were there any tomatoes outside the door when you came? I forgot to check. I filled it up first service. So those were not for taking home. Those were when you got tired of, you know how they do that? Yeah, that's what their real purpose. So I am Frank Hayward. I grew up on a farm in slightly outside of Caribou, 5 miles, and I compare that 5 miles to us was such a big deal. We didn't go to Caribou every hour. You think of going to Bath, we do that 15 times a day and think nothing of it. But times, they have changed. And we used to be able to drive a lot faster then, I guess, or something. But anyhow, we rarely would take that trip. It was during wartime, my childhood, and during the early 40s, the country had instituted a rationing of all basic and important needs like sugar and flour. And you never got new tires, and you always carried a tire patch kit. And at least on a 10-mile trip, you had one flat tire, and you'd take it off and repair it beside the road. And I have for you, in reference to my grandfather, this little admonition to encourage you to be a good and kind person. Now, if I were asked, anyone here that isn't, you'd all say, oh, I'm good and kind. excuse me. But in looking back upon him and how he operated, I felt that his reputation as yours and mine is so important. The way we live, what we say, what we've done, and how we do it is important. It's important especially to we who have a relationship to the Lord, because everything we do, it represents him. A good example of how we would benefit from his being a good person, I think, was that gasoline was critical for we who had a tractor to run and a farm to operate. And so sometimes the stamps would run out and the gas. So my grandfather would go into the gas station in Caribou and with his 5-gallon can and see if he could get some gasoline. And I don't ever remember him not getting some. You know, that the guy would try to help him in any way he could. My grandmother was also an important person. She also was a good and kind person. And often it was necessary for her to get clothes that she couldn't normally buy. And as I remember it, nylon stockings were just hardly ever available to be purchased. We had a store in Caribou, kind of like Rennie's, like the original Rennie's in Damariscotta, called Sleepers. Joe Sleeper, his great grandson, still runs the store. And Joe Sleeper always had something that anything you would need, if you could talk him out of it. And my grandfather would go in when my grandmother needed something, and like a pair of stockings, and get them. One thing, I guess no one here is too young for this, no. So the other thing that my grandfather told this story for a million times, my grandmother needed underwear. And that lady's underwear was also very rare and scarce to get. And so he goes to Joe Sleeper's. And the question was, what size? Biggest you got. And he would tell that over and over and over and over. Biggest you got. My grandmother, their relationship was so secure. They cared for each other so much. Nothing, he would say, would have affected that. And she would sit there and laugh with the rest of us and so on, so on. We had a home that was very open. Peter Willard at Chop Point, he was always trying to guilt us into being hospitable. Have people over for supper or dinner or for the week or something. But he always was stressing that. And I know what that meant to a lot of people, because my home growing up was very open and hospitable. My grandmother loved to cook, and she loved to care for people. And so often, anyone in the neighborhood that needed something, they would come to our house. Our school that I attended was like, 300 yards up the road. So the school teachers always lived at our house. The only time that wasn't good was one time I had to write a report. And I didn't like writing reports any more than most people. And my father was my confidant. And I said, what in the world am I going to write it on? So he maple syrup, the process of getting maple syrup, making it. I had never seen maple syrup made, but he had. He grew up in Canada on a farm. So we had to go up in the bedroom, because the teacher was in the house, right? We go up in the bedroom, and I took dictation, and he would tell me. I got a very good grade on that report, but he was very accurate. That was the only uncomfortable time. Often, the town of Caribou didn't have the money from their taxes they didn't get to meet their obligations, and so they would pay my grandmother for boarding the teacher in script or a little piece of paper which she could take into the local grocer and get some food from. So it was an interesting environment. Every summer, the vacation Bible school teachers stayed at our house for a couple of weeks. And Sunday school people from the American Sunday School Union would come through on visitations, and they would stay at our house or come for lunch. Everyone came for lunch. 11:30, that's when we ate dinner, we called it, and any traveling salesman or what have you would come by and get their free lunch, if you will. So I was mentioning in the first service about the government man, because that's intriguing to me. As a little boy, I'd be out in the field, and this anytime anyone came dressed in a suit, tie, and hat, that was a big deal. Who in the world, this could be? And often it would be someone from the government loan program who would be coming to visit and check up on the farm, our farming operation, but he did it at 11:30 at noontime so he could get his lunch there. 2 miles up the road from our house was a little building, Sunday school building, very small. It would be, as I visualize it, maybe half the size of this sanctuary. And this is where we would have Sunday school from the earliest in the end of mud season, or the warmer weather would come on through the summer and try to get through Christmas. And we would meet there. And the room was partitioned off with these wires, and they used, in the old days, potato bags were made of burlap, potato sack, 100-pound potato bags. And they would open those up and build curtains to partition the rooms off and slide them. When it came time for classes, they'd slide them on the wires. And the pleasure of that was to be able to reach under the curtain to the class beside you and do whatever you could to disturb them. But so that was where my training took place, and I rarely remember going to Caribou to church. It was always in the Sunday school out there. And then in the summer, the vacation Bible school for 2 weeks. And during that time, we had a opportunity to pray to receive the Lord into our lives. And I can remember that rather vividly. I don't remember much about yesterday, but I kind of remember that of praying that prayer and knowing that Christ was in my life, in my heart. And in so many times throughout the next 100 years, you sometimes wonder, you know, was it real, or am I really a believer, committed Christian or not? You know, that assurance was always there because that memory was there. And I knew I had prayed that prayer. And there were things that would happen that would kind of assure me of that as well. My wife, Laura, was raised in a good All-Baptist church, and she had, well, the good Baptist church in Alma, her faith was very strong. It was like grounded like mine never was, I think. And so one of my pleasures when we first started dating was to pretend often that I wasn't a believer. And I can remember, I would get her so frustrated, so angry, as she tried to convince me that what I should be. But our marriage and soon children kicked in, and we needed that relationship both in the Lord, because a lot of challenges come along, as well you know. That little Sunday school program and Bible school was sponsored by the American Sunday School Union out of Boston. And so they would send, they had a missionary station in almost Siberia. Presque Isle is the closest we can get to Siberia in Maine. And she would come around, as would the guy from the outskirts of Boston, and do what they could to encourage and help rural Sunday schools survive. And they were scattered all over. Again, 5 miles out of town. But it was like you were in Siberia. You know, that remoteness prevailed then. My second encouragement to us is to remember the importance of Christian education or spiritual training for children. I think of my own experience of having been taught the Word of God by these faithful people meant everything. And we have that opportunity here as a church to train them up. And as I think back over my time of ministry in this church, the odds aren't great that a high percentage are going on with the Lord if they don't have mom and dad supportive in that home. But still, you sow the seed, and we do that and need to do that for these young people. You sang a lot more in this service, took my time, but just quickly to share with you that became a teacher, went to the University of Maine, majored in agricultural education, became a science teacher primarily later. We went to a three-summer training program at the University of Wyoming with our three children, Brian, Pam, and Rob. And so we would drive out there each summer, and they had a program to encourage and improve science education. And it was a good program, and I say the second blessing of that was that's where we met Peter and Jean Woolard. Peter sat beside me in physics, and he says he knew more than I, but neither one of us did too well. But we met there, and then a year after the third summer, Chop Point became a reality. And first the camp, and then the school. During the early years of living there full-time, it was the time that I also pastored here for 12 years as a layperson. And I quickly leave that topic except for one thing. The importance, I think, of during that time not being a seminary graduate or trained other than in chemistry, I would say, was to go to all the events of all the pastors and other churches in the area. And I think that is so important to share our lives with them. And we were able to do stuff with them. You know, we had all the Methodist churches at Chop Point for an event. And they are open to being ministered to. And our church is sound and solid and basic, and we have that ability to reach out to others, and hopefully will. How are we doing here, Rob? We're getting down there, right? Getting down. One of my favorite students is here, and Chad Lindsay, and he's going to read for you something from the Psalm 63, if I have it right. David is writing this, and he's out in the desert, and he's a hurting person, and yet his relationship to his God is so secure, so good, so solid, that we read of his joy, because it was totally, his life was totally placed in that fellowship of the Lord. Dad, would you read that, please? Did I mention I was Chad's reading teacher? You did well. Thank you. The first lesson, be good and kind. Second lesson, importance of Christian education or teaching the Word of God to our children. And finally, do not overcommit our lives, your lives, to the extent that you get so busy that you sacrifice those things that are most important. And most important, I believe, one, your relationship with the Lord, and two, your relationship with your family. Keep those strong in spite of all that will be happening, in spite of all the things that can come down, the pressures. It's so hard. If I look up here at, well, there's so many that have all bunches of their quivers full of little kids here, whether it's Jamie or, no, I'll skip over. You look at, you know, how easy it is to get so busy caring for all of those children and all of their needs, and yet the balance of your relationship to God is super. Let us not let our church interfere. I can remember a time in my life when our children were very young. I had a church meeting almost every night of the week, some board or committee. And, you know, it was, that is not that important compared to your home and your family. So I pray that you would find that relationship with your God that would bring you the joy and importance of all of that. Missed a lot of good stories, didn't we? So be it. That's the way it goes. Sorry, folks. Thank you. Did I mention this? Oh, yeah, I did. Yeah, that was from the museum.
Just in case you missed it, right?
Yeah, just in case you don't see.
And by the way, you can put the thing back the other way.
Oh, I can get it off.
Yep.
I'm going out to the nursery and check.